Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." This is our text. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Lent began with that reminder of death's curse, ashes on the forehead, dry and dusty ashes. But now, especially now, the reminders are everywhere. It might as well be written on every bottle of hand sanitizer and every package of Clorox wipes. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And we could add on every square of toilet paper and on every hard surface and on every outstretched hand. It seems like every person is now a threat to our health and our well-being. Of course, we know that the truth is far worse. It's not just that death is going to come, but that sin has already returned humanity to the dry dust of death. Bodily death is just the final blow. The Holy Spirit says that fallen sinners are dead in trespasses and sins. Not dying or going to be dead, but already dead in trespasses and sins. Sinners are dry and dusty, like husks that the wind can just blow away. Like that woman of Samaria. She came to draw water from Jacob's well, where Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting. I'd like you to picture her for a moment. Do you see her here, going through the motions like this each day, each week, trudging with her water jar to Jacob's well? It was work. It was hard work. You might not know what lies beneath the surface or under the skin just by looking, but there's a lot there. You may know the saying that still waters run deep. They sure do with this woman. Just start an honest conversation with her, and you'll find out how deep those waters run. And that's what Jesus does. To this woman, he says, "Give me a drink." Why does she come at noon, when all the other women come in the morning or in the evening? Maybe she's afraid of what they'll say, or afraid of what they think, or afraid of the looks that they'll give her. Why is she so ungracious when Jesus asks her for a drink? Is it because he's a Jew? Is it because he's a man? Maybe her experience with Jews or with men has made her wary of what they want. What scars does this woman have? Behind that exterior, that business as usual, what is she thinking? Maybe a list of things that she has done wrong is swirling around in her mind as she trudges with that water jar. All those marriages, being used by men, perhaps using men, cast off with certificates of divorce, the man whom she's now with who won't even give her the honor of being called her husband. That hard work she has made harder by all those burdens she carries. That water jar, that's nothing. Try carrying around her sin and her shame. But come to think of it, you probably do. Not her sin and not her shame, but you carry around your sin and your shame and your life even harder. Where do we turn when the soul lies in dust and ashes? This woman came to the well wanting water, but what she needed was a word that gave life. What she needed was someone to restore her soul. And I bet that woman had tried an awful lot of things. Shocking conversation begins. Words that will change her life. "Give me a drink." She glances up. She looks at him as if to say, "You've got to be kidding me, right? You can't be serious. You, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" As if you knew the gift of God, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. He asks for a drink, but he tells her that he's got a whole lot more to give. She sees the things that divide her. It isn't only for men. It's for this Samaritan woman, and it's also for you. And what is the gift of God? Living water. Living water, which is so much different than cistern water that's been sitting in a well, or stagnant water that's been just pooled and resting. No, living water suggests flowing water and fresh water and water that is connected to the source. Water from an eternal spring. Living and life-giving water. Water that those who are dust, water that those who are dust and ashes so desperately need. But the woman doesn't get it. She's looking at Jesus and she's looking at the well and she's wondering, where's the source where this guy is going to get water? What is the origin of this living water he's talking about? Where does it come from? Because he doesn't have a bucket and the well is deep. "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He's the one who gave us the well, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Well, yes, he is greater than Jacob, because he is Jacob's Lord. And the water that he offers doesn't come from any well. He doesn't need a bucket to retrieve it. It comes from him. "Everyone who drinks of this water," pointing to the well, "to eternal life." Jesus is the source of all living water. His life, his death, his resurrection are a life-giving stream. The water at that well could quench thirst, but only for a time. But this water, his water, is needed only and gave life to the world. Jesus is a source of water like that. He too is a well. He is a spring. He is a fountain from whom life-giving waters flow and create a new humanity. New life for those who remember that they are dust, and to dust they shall return. And now the woman wants what he gives. "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come to draw water again." But she still doesn't get it. Now she wants what Jesus is offering, but she thinks that it's just that his water is going to be a little bit better than the water of Jacob's well. He offers more of what Jacob has, a different kind, because she doesn't yet recognize who he is. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the gift of God. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one who must be lifted up on the cross. Finally, she says, "I know that the Messiah is coming." And Jesus says, "I am the one who is speaking to you." He is not a man of dust and ashes, but the man of heaven. His source is the Father, and his origin is from above. And this is how the living water that he gives can give eternal life. The thirst that you feel, that dryness, the still waters that run so deep, Jesus will feel it too. He becomes the thirsty one. He becomes the one longing for life. Remember his words in the Gospel of John from the cross. "I thirst. Give me a drink. Parched, made harder by the burdens that we've laid on him." But he knew what he was doing when he asked that Samaritan woman for a drink. He knew that what he would receive would be a cup of dust and ashes, a cup of suffering and of shame. He enters the depths of hell itself, and he dies in our place to rise and offer us his life eternal and his life-giving stream of water. And we remember, too, the water that flowed from his side when he was pierced after his death. Out of his heart came streams of living water, and through the water, the Holy Spirit is given, and with the Spirit, there's given the life of the Spirit. That's the water that Jesus gives, and that's what we children of God have. Our life comes from the water. The life of the Spirit given and received by you in holy baptism, that is a true life that you have. Not the life that we have in and of ourselves or by birth into this world, but the life we have from the new birth of holy baptism, that is true life. Life in thought and word and deed. And that baptism that you've received is a gushing water within your life. A water that wells up with the life of Christ himself, who lives in you. It's the work of his Spirit. You may be dust, but you are not only dust. You have the life of the Spirit at work in you. You are alive in Christ. You walk in newness of life. And this is written on every absolution that you hear. It's traced on you with the sign of the cross, morning and evening in invocation and benediction. It's written on every holy communion you receive into your mouth. New life in Christ, the Holy Spirit, the living water that will never perish. And for once in her life, for once in her life, this woman finally meets a man who is not a threat. A man who gives rather than takes, and what he gives, oh, what he gives, it makes her a child of God. The honor that she finds in Jesus frees her to speak in hope of the Messiah. The life she finds in Jesus is a gift that will never go away, and a gift that she wants to share as she goes back to her Samaritan village and tells everyone that the Messiah, the Christ, has arrived. Still waters run deep, and yet deeper still run the words of our Lord, deeper than any of your troubles, deeper than any of the threats of our day, deep enough to conquer hell itself. And our Lord rose from the depths with life for you. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, he says. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Today, Jesus comes and restores your soul. In his name, amen.